Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I can lay awake just to see you breathing. Watch you smile while you were sleeping. While you're far away and dreaming, I could spend my life in the sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment.
Woo! Parts Radio 92.90 Game. Get Reggie Rouse on the phone. We got a new signee here locally in the music world. Tyson Fury coming back. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.90 Game, 92.90game.com. Is that what I missed at the end of the fight last night?
It was his night, man. Whatever he wanted to do, he got to do it.
That was Tyson Fury doing his impression of Steven Tyler after the match last night. Are you kidding me?
God bless
that dude.
He's giving people their money's worth.
Yes, he is. Yes,
he is. You paid a lot for a ticket to come out there for a fight, for a show.
That's it.
You came for a show, and he gave you a show last night.
Gotta like that. That's all I ask. Hey, listen, if you ain't going to be, you know, just all-time great, be interesting, be, you know, be funny, be something. You know, as you said, give me my money's worth.
He got the money's worth. I got the second-round knockout over Tom Schwartz, who really could be called Tom Tomato Can because the dude started bleeding before they could ring the bell for the first round. He's just a bloody mess.
Who was that dude that was always like that? Was it Chuck Wepner?
The Bayonne bleeder. That would hit him a couple of times. Blood all over. They don't let guys bleed like that in boxing anymore.
No.
You know, you start bleeding a little bit, man, they step in there and stop it. You know, but back in the day, man, guys.
I think that all started after Magic Johnson, wouldn't you suspect?
Well, I mean, around that time, I suppose, you had some of that thing, and you had Tommy Morrison.
That's true, too, yeah.
You know, so maybe that's a big part of it. But you just don't see guys with it. You get a bad cut in a fight right now, they'll stop that thing. And so that will happen last night. Well, he got knocked down once as well. But Tyson Fury came in and did what people expected him to do last night in Las Vegas and putting on a big show. Like I said, his entrance was something that they wanted to make sure people saw.
Explain that again. You told us about it. I didn't see it last night, but it was a whole – Don King would have been proud.
I
know he's no connection. I'm just saying.
This is Bob Arum.
I understand that, but he
Bob
being
Arum
flamboyant.
Don King is,
we get that. I'm saying, but Bob Arum's got no flash to him.
Yeah.
Don's got flash.
Yeah.
And he was the one who helped start all that. Actually, Ali was, but he would have been proud, I thought. And
yep.
so would Muhammad, maybe.
I think Ali would have been proud of last night.
Yes, he would.
And then after, he would have taken the microphone. they didn't give him the microphone back then. Howard Cosell held him to the microphone and interviewed him. You know, they'd given the microphone to Ali, no matter telling what he would have done.
People who you don't want to give the microphone to.
You know, if you had given him a microphone after a fight, you'd never get that microphone back.
You got a better chance of getting it back from Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
And you never get it back from Ray.
You know, you wouldn't get it back from Muhammad Ali. But last night, Tyson Fury did it. His entrance to the ring was something everybody kept saying, you don't want to miss this. You want to be sure and watch this. And he emerges from his locker room in this dark black cape hooded robe.
Described the Grim Reaper.
That's basically what it looked like. That's what it looked like. And he walks out, and when he gets ready to come out of the tunnel, everybody can see him. He drops the robe, and he has on the Apollo Creed outfit from the Rocky movie with the Uncle Sam hat and the stars and stripes that made up his trunks and everything. And then the music of James Brown, Living in America. And, I mean, this is his first time, I guess, to really appeal to the American sports fan, American boxing fan. I'm going to wear something that you know about, something you're familiar with, something you identify with. When you see someone dressed like this, I'm automatically going to grab your attention. And so I think that part worked. He got in the ring and made short work of his opponent, and then he had to start singing.
And then brought up the question again when he did start singing is, why is it that when people from England don't sing with an accent? That was the question that was started back when the Beatles came. Because the Beatles don't sing with an accent. People from other countries, you couldn't tell he was British with the way he was singing.
No.
How come he ain't singing with an accent?
But the Beatles talk with an accent.
They didn't. Find me a Beatles song where you could listen to it and know that those guys are from England.
No.
Be hard-pressed to find. I mean, they may be a few, but, you know, you can't really tell. Because they're all over the place like that.
But they talk like, but
that's, yeah, you got your sing-songy thing going. You know, sort of bouncy. But you can't tell when they're singing. Even George.
Yeah. But that's the thing with Tyson Fury. And now what's next in the heavyweight division of boxing?
Wait for Ruiz to knock out Joshua again.
Him
out.
Well, but knock him down. Happens again.
Wouldn't that be great, though?
If he knocked out Joshua again?
If he did, and you got these two big dudes, you got Tyson Fury going at it against Ruiz. That brings everybody under the tent. Because those dudes look like the majority of society.
Yeah, but you want a guy that's a champ that looks like the champ.
Who says you want a guy that looks like that? We embraced George Foreman.
That was afterwards. What do you mean? The original George Foreman didn't look like that.
The original George Foreman didn't, but the one that got the grill and everything else came when he was eating cheeseburgers on Letterman and talking about getting back into the ring, and he gets in there and becomes champion at 48.
Right.
That George Foreman, everybody around the world.
Well, that George Foreman had a personality. He was a friendly
guy. And we loved him because he was.
We had him on. Matter of fact, we had him on Father's Day last year.
Again, that was kind of weird. He was over in Houston. Yeah,
last year he was on.
I was here for it, but I'm saying that was kind of weird. Now that I think back to it, you're right.
Why? He was on with his own father. He was on his way to church.
I remember that. He was going someplace and he was talking to us like he was double parked.
Yeah, he's on his way to church.
But we were just happy to have him.
Yeah, he's happy to have him. He's pressed. He's the pastor of the church. He's getting ready to go in and.
Point taken, but I'm just saying we wanted another kind of George Foreman for our first time having him on, but. You know, we take what we can get, right?
And it was Father's Day.
It was Father's Day. But my point to what you're saying is, we don't mind if you get, as Damon Wayans said in what was it, the Great White Hype. He said, "You need to be in shape." He goes, "I am in shape, round." So we don't mind that if you win the championship, looking like that, or those guys.
Yeah.
Listen, we're not going to get it, but it gives others hope that they can achieve too. They don't have to look like an Adonis coming out of the gym to achieve greatness in the world of sports. You can get their heart, smarts, and take advantage of an opportunity. Put those three into a blender, and you got a lot of people who became champions in different sports that you wouldn't believe would be.
You got a whole lot of people in this town who make money as fitness trainers, and what they real mad at you right now.
So, well, fine, they're gonna keep making money.
They real mad at you because they want people to do things health wise
as well.
And,
they
and,
should
and look healthy and be in the best possible shape.
I'm not talking about
and be
that.
Be dedicated and committed to it. Those are the things they want people to do. And so, someone that's built like Anthony Joshua reflects that.
Yeah.
He has a look. He's a person who has worked in. You know, body like is chiseled and whatnot. He has the look of a person who would be a champ in something.
Yeah.
It looks like he would be a champion in something.
Yeah, he could win a weekend posing contest at one of the clubs with best body. That's great. Everything that you said is just great. I'm talking about participants in a TV show. And if you don't follow boxing, if you don't follow golf, if you don't follow some of these sports, tennis even, and we've had people who have won championships in those individual sports. I'm not talking about team sports. Individual sports. Because we could go on and on about the shape of some pitchers in Major League Baseball, right? We can talk about them not doing any sit-ups and whatever and still achieving greatness. But
You don't see many golfers like that anymore. You don't see any John Daly's and Craig Stadler.
But you have seen them.
Yeah,
okay?
That's the new past. Group.
That, again, but who's to say it won't come back around? It's still about hitting the golf ball. You don't know that.
Yeah.
We don't know. You never would have predicted Ruiz doing what he did last week or 2 weeks ago.
I think we have a heavyweight champion look like the Michelin Man. No, we wouldn't.
Okay. And we had one before that, too, in George Foreman. Actually, he looked more like something else. But I won the Michelin Man. But again, we embraced that. We loved when Foreman was champion.
We love an underdog or someone. You mentioned the 30 for 30 talking about tomorrow's date.
Right.
You know what? I went on recently, looked at those, and I hadn't seen the one about Jimmy Connors. Talking about boxing and talking about an underdog when he was 39 years old, went back to the U.S. Open.
Oh, that against Andy. I remember this.
You know what I mean?
What was that dude's name?
Crickstein. Crickstein.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Was it Aaron?
Aaron Crickstein.
Oh, look at me. See that? I know my old tennis.
But I'm just saying, you know, we do kind of gravitate toward that underdog, or whatever. And Connors hadn't been a top ranked player for a number of years. He just wanted to get back into the U.S. Open one more time. And it shows how many people think about that. Just the one shot. You mentioned Ruiz. He gets that one shot. He makes the most of it. Connors got back into the tournament and got to the semifinals.
And was beloved while that was one of the greatest runs in tennis history.
But he wasn't a beloved guy.
That's what I was just about to agree with you with, because neither was Foreman.
Yeah,
neither was Foreman. He was a so-and-so. People think about Mike Tyson being the way he was. People don't know. George Foreman was every bit of what Mike Tyson was.
Yeah, be surly, right? Just surly, mean guy, you know. But that's the thing with Connors. He didn't come from, you would say, the blue blood of the country club. He came from Belleville, Illinois.
I know, right outside West Side, right down the street from Doc Rivers' house in Maywood. Yeah. and two towns over from me.
You know what I mean? And that's where he came from. And he was just a different element in that whole environment. Mm-hmm. And he relished in it. He said, you know, if he's going to call some people out and whatnot, he didn't mind doing it. And
But there was a couple other jerks during that time, too, playing tennis. Garolitis was one.
Well, Garolitis wasn't bad. Nastasi.
Ely Nastasi.
Nastasi was the guy that was off. But it wasn't an American guy. Usually American tennis players always, you know, about the etiquette and conducted themselves a certain way. And Connors was just different. Even the racket he played with.
Wilson T2000. Did I pull that up? Did you expect me to pull that up?
That thing was a piece of scrap iron, man.
I know.
Nobody else could play with that racket but him. Mm-hmm. But that's why he loved it. You know what I mean? And he was this underdog type guy, and he comes back out there.
Who was the other American that when Jimmy was ruling the roost that was up behind him?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned Gerolitis. He was one that was there. They had a number of guys, and then McEnroe came out.
Hated each other.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, McEnroe never understood why Connors didn't like him, and everybody could see why he didn't like him. And then conversely, when Connors left the stage, McEnroe dominated for a few years, and he got the same grief from Agassi. And they didn't get along. Yeah. If you remember, right?
Yep.
The same thing. And Andre had all the love coming to hair and to this and outfits. And McEnroe didn't like. He's like, punks.
He got the new Nike deal, because Nike brought a whole different line of attire and everything for Agassi than the stuff that McEnroe was wearing.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We have somehow morphed into tennis, but we started this segment off.
We're talking about boxing. We're talking about one-on-one sports and people rooting for underdogs. And Tyson Fury wanted to distinguish himself last night as a front runner and present himself to the United States. That's great for the future. Now let's see if he can get this matchup with Deontay Wilder. I think that's the thing we want to see happen next in the heavyweight division.
And one of the things that we brought up earlier, again, if you're just joining us, was that how do we follow what's going on in boxing? Boxing has had somewhat of a resurgence. And though you didn't get the victories that you saw coming, they're relevant again, right? And how does that continue? How do they make a significant dent in the MMA and their base? Boxing, much like a lot of sports, just weren't paying attention for a lot of years, or were being guided by some guys whose best interest wasn't in the long-term success of the sport. They're just trying to grab and get what they can.
And also the caliber of athlete, too. Not saying these guys are great athletes that are in there, but usually people always ask me, where are the great heavyweights? And I always say the heavyweights are playing outside linebacker and defensive end right in the NFL, you know? So that's the thing I would say now, more from attracted to that sport.
So how do we get what was used in the past as a way of following these guys, meaning boxers, and we have an opportunity next year? We do what we did. We plant our flag into the Olympic boxing team and hope that some guys get some medals, some gold medals, and take it to the professional level. That relationship is then connected to us, the fans, who follow them, you know, like I said, starting when they were an amateur.
More than just watching the Olympics, though, but guys, you have social media, so many different platforms to present them in different
ways. But we're only going to see them on certain platforms. They can talk about all they want. We need to see them. We need to see them fight. And we need to see them fight and give us the fights that we want. Don't do what the old school with Don and Bob Arum used to do, make us wait. That's how people's ears get bitten off.
Wow, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Long wait.
Yeah, that's how people's ears get bitten off. Anyway,
talk about fights. Somebody coming up from Big Fight Town.
Yeah, we are. We're going to talk about these Phillies who got one last night against the Braves. We're also going to talk about the 76ers, everything Philadelphia, but the leagues in itself, too, because there's some stories going on in the periphery, obviously, with the NBA. Gil Tyree is joining us next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And again, happy Father's Day. For those of you out there, Mr. Crenshaw, you want to say happy? Oh, he's in the middle of doing something crazy here. We are going to hopefully hear from our actually, he spent some time here, Gil Tyree, but he's up in Philly right now. And want to get his perspective. He follows a lot closer than we do what's going on with that Philly team. But also as we talk about the end of the basketball season, what happened as we sat back and watched the process and what was to be for the 76ers team this year?
Big disappointment.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be, you know, one of those teams that are going to take that next step. And, you know, Butler comes in and now he's saying he's opting out possibly to go some other place. And he's one of the key ingredients. I mean, he doesn't want to be in a place where people don't seem like their focus is on the same page and ready to, you know, play for championships. And that's what he's made decide to want to go. He may be a piece we may see show up on the West Coast.
Yeah, well, he ain't going to end up with the Lakers.
Well, it could be.
Because I see this now as Kawhi's landing spot with the Lakers. I mean, it just makes too much sense to me. Now, they got to get a point guard, you know, to distribute the ball amongst the three. I mean, yeah, LeBron can play it and Kawhi can play it, but you want a point guard on that team.
Absolutely.
But I see that as the next super team. And the reason I say that is because I don't know. Listen, let me ask you this, as opposed to me just jamming this down your throat. What's more attractive to you if you're Kyrie? Of the two L.A. teams, because he wants to go back to L.A., all right? At least that's what the reports are. Jerry West, Doc Rivers, and the money that is available to them with the Clippers to get pieces around him, or landing with the Lakers, and you know what you got there with LeBron and now Anthony Davis.
Probably want to. I think you go with the Lakers right now. That seems to be something that's going to be real attractive and appealing. Would you see the piece they picked up yesterday?
I'm thinking that is the obvious location for him. And I want to see it. Listen, the dude didn't just carry a team this last year. He carried a country. His shoulders are tired. Let me go somewhere and be a part of something special. He got two rings. He got two MVP finals MVPs. He don't need any more hardware in the cabinets. He wants to play and, I don't want to speak for Kawhi, because we know that you don't know what's running through his mind. But I think that the best opportunity for him, where he doesn't have to carry everything and still have a chance at a chip, next year, not down the road where they're going to build a team around him, which is what I believe would have to happen with the Clippers, you land there and you got a good a chance as any getting another ring next year.
Yeah. I think that could definitely be the case.
And do you think his objective is to be a part of something special for the next 5 years, given an organization, letting them build around him, or like I said, stepping into a super team?
I don't know about, you know, I think Kawhi will want to know he's going to go and have a chance to win. I think he likes the idea of having of the way things felt in Toronto, that he took charge, stepped up, and he's the guy.
But he carried everything.
I know it.
Listen, the man pulled rabbits out of his hat last year. Nobody expected him to do what he did. Now he doesn't have to do that again. It's time for him to enjoy the rest of his basketball life. And why not do that if this is part of his makeup, and that's the part that's the unknown, being a part of one of those super teams.
Yep.
You know. All right, we got our man here?
Yeah.
We're trying to get this guy out here on Father's Day and bringing the knowledge from Philadelphia. Gil Tyree joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mr. Tyree, good morning.
Morning and happy Father's Day.
Good morning to you. Happy Father's Day to you guys.
It's
great to talk to you.
You too.
I talked to you on Mother's Day and I talked to you on Father's Day. I'm doing good in this world. You know what I'm saying?
I was just rambling on, Gil, about my thoughts on why I believe that Kawhi Leonard is going to end up with the Lakers given the trade that happened last night and the fact that he doesn't have to prove anything more to anybody in the basketball world. The guy got a finals MVP with San Antonio. He left there, like Frank Sinatra says, he did it his way, went up to Toronto, got them a chip, carried an entire country on his back, and I believe now is his time to just kind of enjoy the remainder of his basketball career by being a part, and of course going for another ring, but being a part of one of those super teams that are prevalent now in the NBA.
You know, Greg, that's going to be one of the storylines in the summer, but here's just something to keep an eye out on. Whatever Masai Ujiri does in terms of where he's going to go, is he going to go to Washington for you know, the reported deal that Ted Leonosis has put on the table for him, or will he just stay in Toronto, or will they do a deal in Toronto that Kawhi cannot say no to? But I agree with you. I think, you know, his shelf life in Canada has pretty much come to an end. He's done. He delivered in the 1 year, and it's now to move on. And you know, there's no secret that he wants to get back out to California, where he grew up, and you know, closer to his home in San Diego. But here's the thing that I throw out at you: the Lakers have what right now, 28 to 32 million, and is that enough to get whether it be a Kemba Walker, whether it be Kawhi Leonard, whether it be a Jimmy Butler to go along with those other two in Davis and LeBron James? And can Kawhi Leonard be comfortable with sidekick number three? Okay, and again, his ego, lack of it, he does not have an ego. His personality would probably tell you otherwise, that he can be comfortable in that role. He doesn't need to be the man out there, but he will be the man in terms of being able to deliver a championship, because LeBron James is going down. Anthony Davis, you know, I love him to no end, but he's had some injury issues. So all that being said, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. But I got to believe that that Kawhi will leave Canada. I do.
Gil, you're there.
I don't think he'll re-sign, Sam. I really don't. I just there's so many things. I mean, this is a different type of dude. This is a guy who's very introverted. He doesn't show you his hand, but he is very loyal to the people who love him. And you know, the Clippers will get involved, and you know, so much of this is going to depend on what Klay Thompson does, what, you know, Kevin Durant's situation is. But you know, the one thing I think, once these dominoes start to fall, and I think you saw yesterday with the trade, that's domino number one. And as we get closer to Thursday, I think you're going to see dominoes 2, 3, and 4 start to fold, and everything gets in pretty much how the season's going to look 2019 and into 2020 before we get to the FIBA qualifying and the training camp in Vegas, and then after that, because everybody wants to have their teams in place. What's Boston going to do? What they're going to do here in Philadelphia? What you guys are going to do in Atlanta? You have what, number 8 and number 10? What are you going to do on Thursday? Do you keep those two? Do you package to move up? You guys made the nice deal to get that Allen Crabb. I think you gave up a little, but you got something, and I think you got something building there. So we're going to see what happens.
We will. Spending some time this morning on the waitfor.com hotline with Gil Tyree. You can follow him on social media. He is there at GT6135. At GT6135. Some folks you're very familiar with are out at SunTrust Park this weekend, and the place is packed. Friday night, you know, your bullpen kind of break down, and last night our bullpen did. Is that the story of these two teams at this stage, Gil?
You know, it's more so with Philadelphia, Sam, more so with Philadelphia, simply because you look at the bullpen, the way the expectations coming in. Tommy Hunter, injured. Pat Neshek, injured. Sir Anthony Dominguez, elbow issues. Hector Neris, to the point where he blew his first save in, what, 13, 17 outings on Friday night in that 9-8 debacle. Is it a combination of things in terms of being mismanaged by the manager, Gabe Kapler, and his pitching coach, Chris Young? Or is it a situation where Matt Klintak, the general manager here, should have gone out, got a Craig Kimbrell, may have made a run at a Dallas Keuchel, and what have you? Those are the things. Or do you make a trade? Do you try to make a trade at the trade deadline? You know, a lot of people here say, okay, the injury to Andrew McCutchen, okay, that happened. You go out and you get Jay Bruce. Okay, good acquisition. Struggles with Bryce Harper, but all that being said, Bryce Harper has made the lineup better. You're getting lightning in a bottle with Gene Segura. All of that, the play of JT Realmuto, and that being done, what are you doing about the pitching? You have a starting rotation that's struggling. Nola, Arrieta, Eichhoff. You guys will see Corbin today. Cole Irvin. He is the kid that they're bringing up. He's a left-hander, and you hope that the Atlanta Braves do not have a book on him in terms of what he throws. So all of that being said, the bullpen has been a major disappointment. But I don't think it's magnified as much with you guys as it is here.
Why is that the case? I'm serious about it, because every team has bullpen issues, Gil, right?
Yeah, but Greg, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to say this to you. I believe that this manager here, Gabe Kapler, he's an analytics guy. He's not, you know, I've known Brian Snitker for a long time, and he's into analytics, but he's not into analytics as much as this guy is here. And what he's done is he has mismanaged the bullpen. You look at the situation with Dominguez. I mean, he just saw Dr. Andrews down in Birmingham. They injected him with the blood platelets because there's a possibility he will have a Tommy John surgery. Here's a guy that was really throwing well. Pat Neshek has been a disappointment, and he's 2 years away, 2 years off of being an all-star. You have a problem. Hector Neris is tired. He doesn't have enough. I mean, he blew a save last night. I mean, the night before last on Friday, and luckily he was able to come through last night. I mean, they're living on a prayer. They really are, and I blame all of this on Kapler, and I blame it on Klentak too. They have failed to do anything. I mean, you let the Atlanta Braves go out and make a run at Keuchel. You go out and you do not try to make a run at Kimbrel because you're concerned about years. You need help in that bullpen. You can't out-hit everybody and outscore everybody every week. You just can't do it. And you're in a stretch now. You're in a stretch of 17 straight games where you don't have an off day. Okay? And you have let the Atlanta Braves catch you. And you go to Washington after this, and you come back, and you play every team in the NL East until we see you guys back in July again. Okay? So all I'm saying before the All-Star break, so all of that being said is this whole thing is predicated on pitching. You need pitching to get to October. And right now the Phillies don't have pitching. And Atlanta is set up a lot better than this team in Philadelphia in terms of being able to get to win the National League East. And I think Atlanta's going to win the East again. I really do.
This is Gil Tyree. I really do. Gil Tyree joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam, I think it's official. We can hear the frustration in Gil's voice.
He's a little bit. He
worked
bit.
Up into a lather on his Father's Day, ain't he? And my question is this yes, the right. feeling? Is this feeling permeated throughout the fan base in Philadelphia, powers that be? So, is there a possibility that? And listen, we're not talking about a last place team here. This is a team that's like a game and a half out first, and probably considered a division winner, but yet you sound like somebody who'd like to see change at the top.
But here's the thing, Greg. You have gone out, you spent big money. You spent big money for McCutchen. You made the trade for Segura. You spent big money for Bryce Harper. Okay? And you didn't address, you gave Aaron Nola a $50 million extension, and he's not even right. Okay? Arrieta has been a major disappointment, clearly. And you look at what you've done. You put Velasquez. You took Vince Velasquez, put him in the bullpen because you thought he could work there. You brought up Jared Eichhoff, and what has he done? Nothing. You're going to depend on Irvin today to try to do something for you. Okay. So all of that being said, is you haven't addressed the real need, and this city was really, really disappointed when they saw you guys go out and get Keuchel. For a one-year deal, okay? And Craig Kimbrel has been sitting there, and they need to, but they're concerned about, well, you know, too many years. Okay, you have guys that are over, Hector Neris is overused in that bullpen. You cannot continually go to him. You've wasted Dominguez already, and you know this, Sam, and you know this, Greg. You know you're going to shoot somebody up with blood platelets. They're not going to be back in 6 weeks. Come on.
Nah, don't see that happen.
I mean, you are bound for that is a Tommy John surgery waiting to happen, and all you are doing is postponing the inevitable.
Yeah.
And Dr. Andrews is a renowned orthopedic surgeon, the best in the world. And I've seen guys go down there, and you've seen them, Greg. You've seen them too, Sam. They go down there, they get injected. But what happens? Four months later,
they're back throwing,
and then the same problem rears its ugly head again. And then what do? You cut on them, and they have Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. Listen, I love Gabe Kapler. I think but every time the Braves are his kryptonite. We saw that in opening day last year. We saw the meltdown with Nola when he took him out too early. We saw it Friday night. And Sam and you and I text back and forth. We saw it Friday night. And we saw it at the last series last year when you guys went on and won the East. We go down there. The two teams head-to-head. They're right there at the top. And we lose what? We get swept. The Phillies get swept. And today is a defining moment because what is this about, Greg and Sam? When you win a division, it's about winning series. Okay, you got to win series, and I don't care what the Phillies have done back in April. That doesn't matter right now. I want to win this series.
All right, the Braves
are playing great baseball right now. I mean, they're playing great, and I was so happy for Brian McCann on Friday night. I really am, and I love that team. I love Smith. I love everybody on that. But the Phillies, like I said before, the owner, John Middleton, went out, made a commitment, financial commitment to this franchise. And right now, they're teetering. And I mean, because the Braves have caught. The Braves are there. They're right there.
Gil,
we're not even at the All-Star break yet.
Gil, take a break.
Yes, quick.
We appreciate you bringing a passion this morning. We hope this conversation is being piped into the team hotel. And by the way, you were a lot nicer when you were here covering the Braves when you were living in Atlanta. You got that Philly edge now, by the way.
No, come on. No, Greg, listen, I love Smith. I love him. I really do.
Yeah,
okay? We are. Go ahead.
And I love the Bravos. I really do.
We know you do.
I want that to be perfectly known.
Yes, it is. And you are a passionate sports fan. We, sir, are up. We are up against it. We got to cut you loose.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
No. We love it, man. You're like I said. You're a David Lee Roth interview. We say hello and then we go get a sandwich and you just go. That's beautiful. Enjoy the rest of your day, Gil.
You too.
We'll get you back on soon.
Take care.
All right.
We're going to just go here and come back and talk about what Gil said. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'm just having all kinds of talking problems.
Why is that?
Swallowed like somebody with... dip bong or something. I don't know. Just having problems here communicating. Man, Gil was all worked up into a lather.
He really was.
I love that. Usually I don't like hearing from Philly fans, but, you know, Gil was bringing some knowledge. And, you know, that's the kind of city that gets managers and coaches fired.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Atlanta, I mean, this is not one of those cities, but Philly, Chicago, New York, L.A., you know.
Especially if they feel like the team has the potential to do, and this Philadelphia team is supposed to now losing McCutchen.
I was going
to
say they're kind of overlooking some injuries.
That's a big setback for that team.
But I had to smile a little bit because when he was talking about Jake Arrieta, I knew that I couldn't stand that dude, and I was so happy that Theo Epstein didn't offer him a deal. So thank you for helping us get a chip here in Chicago. On your way, off you go. You know, because there's something surly about him. And Gil is, you know, he touched on it a little bit, but you heard other things about this guy that just, you know, you wondered if it was worth having him in the locker room for. But yeah. I don't know.
But it was great to have Gil weigh in and let us know about Philadelphia. They got some bullpen woes.
Everybody does, though. Everybody's got bullpen woes.
You know?
Where do you keep interchanging these middle relievers and the same problem exists? Where are you going to find the closer? They're few and far between.
Yeah. Well, today is Father's Day. I think we want to just say hello and happy Father's Day to somebody. And he's on the waitfor.com outlaw right now.
Yes, he is.
Walter Banks, good morning. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I tell you, I couldn't receive a more surprising Happy Father's Day.
Now, Sam, you should enlighten those people out there because, believe it or not, there are some people in our listening audience who don't know who Walter is.
Are you serious?
Yes, there are.
No way.
He is world renowned. We reach hundreds of thousands of people, folks driving through town. They're looking maybe at SunTrust Stadium right now coming down 75 and wonder what's – Yeah, there's something special about that place.
Yeah,
we can't really put my finger on it. Well, tell them why.
Especially because if you go inside, you get to see Walter Banks. That's what's the
difference. I tell you what, that's a matter of opinion. I'm glad it's yours because you're a person of outstanding quality and good taste.
Well, Walter, of course, for many, many years, we just dubbed you the sports ambassador of our city. And you're always at the Braves games. And I always tell people, if you're at the ballpark and you don't have a smile, look for Walter Banks. He'll give you his.
Isn't there a trait that Walter has that, you know, again, we need to revisit this stuff, that you've mentioned some kind of number or something like that? What's the trait, man?
You just give him a number.
When is your birthday?
Let's say 14.
14?
Yeah.
The first state after the original 13 colonies, number 14, would be Vermont.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So he's got that kind of.
And the Braves got three world championships. The first one was 1914 when they was in Boston, Massachusetts. Georgia Tech first championship was 1914.
See, and the Star Spangled Banner was written in 19, September 14th.
September 14th.
Okay.
That's what he does. But folks, if you're at the ballpark, you're running the Walter, that is what he'll do. He'll do for you. Like I said, if you don't have a smile, he'll put one on your face. You got something special coming up next Monday. We're going to get you back on before that. You're going to have a bobblehead. How does that make you feel?
I didn't understand.
I said you're going to have a bobblehead presented of you. How does that make you feel?
Oh, great. That'll be Friday, the 5th of July.
Yeah.
And when you heard the news that you were getting one, what was your reaction?
I thought it was unbelievable.
Have you seen it? Does it look like you?
Yeah, that's the big thing. Make sure it looks like you. Or send it back.
You think it looks like you?
We are having some issues. Maybe the connection with
Walter. I can hear you now.
Okay, there we go.
We're asking if the bobblehead looks like you. Do you think it does?
You know, I think they did a good job. I have no criticism about it. It looked like me or somebody kind of looked like me. But they did a great job, though, really. I'm impressed. I'm thankful and just happy to be a part of Braves country and appreciate all what they do and everything they've done for me. I can't thank them enough.
Well, we appreciate what you've done. I mean, for as long as the Braves have been in the city of Atlanta, Walter Banks has been a part of just the staff that welcomes you and greets you to the ballpark.
And where can people find Walter when they go out there? What section or what? Or are you moving around? Where are you at, Walter? Where
I'm
can folks find
I'm moving around, but you can leave a message at I-122 at the top of I-122. It's a lady work up there. They call her Mo, and she'll take your seat number or maybe your cell number. Now, it might not be right then, but I will get in touch with you.
Make a trip over to the seat and take a picture.
There you go.
I wouldn't mind at all.
Happy Father's Day, Walter.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and same to you, and I hope it's the best one you've ever had.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Walter Banks, folks. He is the, we call him just the ambassador for sports in town. We figure we just give him a call and just wish him a happy Father's Day.
You cannot tell the story of the Atlanta Braves in total without mentioning Walter Banks. That's how you define greatness.
And we just said happy Father's Day to him and good morning to him. If you get into it, he will tell you the starting lineup for the first Braves game. He will rattle who's in right field, who's in left field. I mean, he rattles off so many things like that. And it's amazing someone, you know, that keeps those things and still can put it out there. I know we had him on before, and he ran off a lot, and people were saying, man, you ought to have that guy on again. Because a lot of things that have happened in Atlanta sports, things that I, before I was living here, obviously, he saw and was a part of, either working at the games or attending the games and got to know the people. So he's an interesting guy to really talk with.
I would like to have asked him, and maybe you have in the past, but he obviously was there the night Hank Aaron broke the record, night.
Absolutely.
But what was that like being in the park? Now that crowd, by the way, has grown to 150,000.
Oh, yeah.
The people who were there that night.
We were there.
But having that experience, being there for him, it's got to be one of those moments that he cherishes, not only, but also remembers fondly, and where he was in the park at that point.
Yeah.
Where were you? Where were you standing? What section was it? Fulton County Stadium? And what do you remember that happened thereafter?
If you ask him a number, he could probably tell you that number related to where he was that night. Probably a certain date.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, if you guys are just joining us, we spent a few minutes with Walter Banks. And just say Atlanta Brave. part of the Braves organization. Maybe not Atlanta Braves. We'll just say part of the Braves organization.
He is that.
Coming back, we are going to give you guys a shot at some jobs. I want to remind you about something that took place last week. Sam and I were talking about, and then we found out what actually happened. What was going on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Last week. We'll get into that next.
Yikes.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.